Welcome to episode 27 of The Grace to Love Again. The journal entries continue with July 22nd. I finished packing up the tiny house possessions today, and now I only need to strap some things down for safe transport. In the evening, while I was on the phone with Lisa, I received a very surprising email from P saying that we had incorrectly signed the notarized form for the divorce and that it must be redone. This is a setback, but also a positive sign that she indeed had intentions on moving forward with the divorce papers. Today, I will have that new form notarized and sent back to her. Hopefully, this can be rectified soon. This obstacle is frustrating, but not surprising. Michael commentary. So, this was a very interesting situation that I was trusting God for. If you listen to episode number 26, you can hear me say that nothing is moving forward. Everything's being held back, including the divorce from P. So we had originally separated, according to her, back in March 5th of 2019, the day that I sat down and told her that I knew God was calling us to move to New Zealand. And then we filed for divorce at her recommendation in August of 2019. And the papers were filed here in the state of Alabama, an uncontested divorce. It should have been very easy. Unfortunately, one word was wrong, and the judge kicked back the papers, and the divorce ended up falling through. And I saw and trusted that God was allowing that to happen. He was giving her more time and also still keeping me, if you will, in bondage while waiting for his mercy to run out with her, that four-year mark to come up where God's going to wash his hands of her and see clearly he's given her time to repent, but she's unwilling. So I saw how God had worked into that. Well, now I'm in a situation where I clearly see God's given me Lisa as a wife. I know I'm going to be moving there, and I cannot register a marriage to Lisa until I have actual divorce papers from P. And this has been stretching on for now some 2 years. So now we're at a situation where P is not talking with me. She's not communicating to me at all. And I'm sitting around hoping and expecting that at some point she's going to do the right thing and she's going to give me the divorce that she begged me for, that she's going to take the initiative, file the papers, and send them to me because after all, she's the one that wanted to file divorce. Well, the temptation had come many times for me to reach out to her. And I said, no, God keeps showing me he's going to act in behalf of the one who waits for him. So now notice this. Here it is, July 22nd. At this point in time, there's 33 days left until my plane leaves. 33 days, and P suddenly out of nowhere contacts me without me having to contact her at all to let me know that she's apparently wanting to move forward with the divorce papers, but that the papers I sent to her had been signed in the wrong place, my portion of the papers. And so that is something that you need to know, and this situation is going to continue on in the journal entries. You'll hear how this story works itself out, but it's remarkable. And this is another instance of showing perfect timing. God knows I need to register this marriage to Lisa, and we can't do it until we hear from P. And here it is. God acts in behalf of those who wait. And there had been temptations coming into my mind that she was now changing her mind about the divorce, and maybe she didn't want the divorce, or maybe she was going to try to file a contested divorce to try to take money from me after she realized that she gave nothing in this marriage and that she didn't deserve anything in this marriage. And she flat out said she didn't want anything. She agreed to an uncontested marriage to leave without taking anything except for what she left the house carrying herself with. This is what she'd always said. She didn't want my money. She didn't need my help. She didn't consider anything that we ever had together to be anything of hers. So I started thinking about, oh boy, I wonder what's going to happen here. Well, I just kept the faith and kept waiting. And here it was, God acting in behalf of the one who waits for him. Incredible. Not a coincidence. It's by the design of God. And wait until you hear how the timing of this works out. End of commentary. I still have not heard back from the shipping company with an estimate on shipping the tiny house to New Zealand. In the evening time, my very vulnerable time, Lisa shared a story with me that caused me to be upset. I was not able to recover from the story until Lisa realized what had happened and saw that Satan was taking advantage of a story that I had completely misunderstood something about. Once again, she stepped in and with love reassured me of the truth in the matter. Her words and love truly were like anti-venom to the serpent's strike. July 23rd. I spent the first night in Tyler's condo today, and I could feel the first sense of sadness that I was losing my daily routine for the last 2 years. Once I arrived at the tiny house, I sat down to read some devotions to keep myself encouraged, and I decided to read one of the streams in the desert in a recording to Lisa from January 18th evening about God always leading us into victory, but often allowing the enemy to have the appearance of certain defeat before God comes through in a last-minute deliverance. Shortly after making that recording, I checked my email to find another obstacle regarding moving the tiny house to New Zealand. The carrier is asking if the tiny house on wheels is brand new or if it's less than 30 days old because they have very strict stink bug regulations in Australia and New Zealand. Unfortunately, the house is 2 years old. This happened right after I saw 9:29. Matthew 9:29, that it would be to me according to my faith. In the 1 hour recording I made to Lisa this morning, I look up and I see 8:24. And I've been seeing 8:24 quite a bit the last 2 days, so I decided to look it up. To my amazement, one of them speaks of being delivered today. This happens just minutes after finding Zechariah 9:16. 1 Kings 8:24. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. It is 10:22 a.m., and right now there's only 33 days and 9 hours left until my plane leaves for New Zealand. It now appears that the Lord may be telling us He is going to deliver us today in some way. May it be in Jesus' name. Lisa cried out with all her heart yesterday and asked God to please do a miracle today, my Friday, and show us something that could not just happen naturally. She begged God to refresh our spirit and to remember our faith and to see our trials and to see our obedience and reward us. This is when she found Exodus 9:5 shortly afterwards. Now this morning, I'm discovering I have been seeing two other numbers that point to a deliverance today as well. Both of them, I only looked up today. May it be in Jesus' mighty name. On this very day, P starts replying to my emails and cooperating regarding the divorce. The shipping company then finds a carrier that is willing to deliver the tiny house to New Zealand for $29,900. Then, with only 33 days left, I end up having to start the divorce filing process from scratch after discovering P never took the initiative to file it, and she said she would. Then, Doug from Timbercraft contacts me 2 minutes after I told Lisa he wasn't responding to my texts about finding someone to tow the tiny house for me to whatever port I would need to get it to. July 26th, Lisa had another bad dream the night before last that nothing came to pass and that all went back to the way it was. No visa, no passport, no marriage. She's been very melancholy and flat ever since. I made several recordings to her today about our staying strong in our faith. We now have exactly 30 days left for me to leave. I called and canceled my doctor's appointment in Atlanta this morning because the passport didn't come. All the numbers are still pointing to scriptures about faith and deliverance. After filing the uncontested divorce process all over again with a local law firm who specializes in this, they emailed me this morning to let me know that they had received my paperwork and that it should now be 2 to 3 days for it to get prepared. That leaves only about 30 days to get it finalized before I leave the country. I'm trusting God for the timing of this. Lisa cannot register our marriage until I have a final divorce date. I've seen 2 110s yesterday, Sunday, and I'm wondering if something is going to happen on Tuesday. Then I saw the number 821 in the email from the divorce attorney this morning, and one of them is Job 8:21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. And another one was from Exodus 8:21, where in verse 23, it says, the miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. That is Tuesday. Exodus 8:23, I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. Then I was amazed to get a notification from my one-day journal app that it was 2 years ago today that we secured this land that the tiny house is on. Here it is. I'm getting ready to finish packing up the inside of my tiny house on the very day of the two-year anniversary, from the very day that we knew we were going to be able to move on to this property. I must now be off of this property in 7 more days by August 1st, and today is 30 days until the plane leaves. July 27th. Temptations to quit after looking at the size of the giants in the land. It would be so easy to quit. 2 terrible dreams, one about P and then one about Lisa that was meant to get me upset at her. Then I wake up to terrible news in an email from the New Zealand customs agent saying my tiny house will likely attract a 5% duty plus 15% import on goods and services tax, plus some additional local taxes, which could end up being well over $30,000 in taxes. The email stated, these taxes apply unless you are a new immigrant or a returning citizen of 21 months and have owned and used the tiny house for plus 12 months. Please advise if this is the case. He then informs me that if the house was not wired for 220 volts, it would need to be rewired and the certification would have to occur before we can live in it. I began to sink, thinking about all of this money to rewire the house. It would be absolutely astronomical. I was able to put this issue down relatively quick after realizing we will just go with an off-grid solar system. That would cost far less money than rewiring the house. I received an audio message today from a beloved sister in Christ named Isabella Knight, who happened to be the sister that Jared and Kristen Tabai went to live with after learning years ago that we were all thinking about moving to Texas in our tiny houses. In her recording, she said that she was so excited about Lisa being my wife and said that she knew many months ago when she saw the first testimonial video of Lisa, as she was watching it, she said to herself, that is going to be Michael's wife.
When you have that episode a long, long time ago, I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, of that lady that she married 3 times, I guess. And when you were reading about that and you had the feeling that you were going to also marry for 3 times. And it always stuck with me because, you know, it might sound strange, but who are we to try to make sense of what God does, in the sense that when he does things, when it comes to play, when it comes to, it materializes in front of us, it makes sense. But at that point, when you don't have all the pictures, or you don't have the entire pieces to understand, you're just kind of like, oh, why would God do that? Why would God allow to marry 3 times and not just once? Who are we to try to figure this out? He knows. And to me, it's very clear. If you would have never married Persis, we would have never had the Apostate Bride. We would have not have all this series that God, with God's inspiration, you have delivered something that it's so true and so strong. It's solid spiritual food for those who are listening. And in the rest, I mean, the people just trying to figure it out. Oh, why would God do this? Who cares? That's God's doing. So I'll tell you this. I knew who Lisa was because when you sent an episode about how people, I guess you send those questions for people to answer, how the testimony and all that, few takes of people talking about your ministry. And I saw Lisa and she was wearing a black shirt. And the first thing when I saw her, I said, and this is the wife for Michael. And I said that, and I felt bad because in my mind, I'm like, well, but Persis is still there. But I am like thinking, no, this is the wife for Michael. It was so interesting and so amazing. So
Lisa was not able to feel any of this good news about finding a carrier to ship the tiny house or even this comment, because she was still under such a rather severe and strange melancholy that had started from that dream. Today, I received all the information about actually shipping the tiny house. I have asked for a discount based on the quote I received 2 years earlier. Philip, my agent, is going to ask for a discount for me from the carrier and get back with me today. This has happened 2 years to the day of our first day of land prep for the tiny house on July 27th, 2019. That is incredible. Note, what is the Lord telling me right now on July 26th and 27th regarding the tiny house shipping problems? Now, I've made a list of all the numbers in chronological order that have pointed to scriptures that show what God's been showing me. 6:11, right now as I make this note. Put on the full armor of God. 1:13, Joshua 1:13. Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. 5:22, Job 5:22. You will laugh at destruction. 11:12, Matthew 11:12. Violently take this promise. 455, page 455 in my Bible, 2 Samuel 23:5. He will bring about my salvation and my heart's desire. Matthew 9:29, it will be to me according to my faith. Isaiah 64:4, God will act in my behalf as I wait for him. 2:32, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. 6:51, Jesus will calm the wind and the waves. 8:04, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. 8:08, the angel will throw the mountain standing in our way into the sea. 8:28, Romans 8:28. 8:47, we will go from strength to strength. 8:21, he will yet fill our lips with laughter and our mouths with joy. 9:10, he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. 9:11, Nehemiah 9:11, you divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground, but you hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone into mighty waters. 10:11, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. 11:11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. 11:40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? 12:15, Psalm 121, 5 through 8. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. 1:10, Joshua 1:10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Just a little note, pay attention to this. This is another one of those 1:10 markers you've already heard me mention in the recordings where God is showing me 3 days in advance of something that's going to happen. God has done virtually every major event prophetically with these indicators of either the 3 days or the 21 days, as I've mentioned before. It is remarkable. These next numbers happened right after I got all the information I needed and a bid from a carrier to ship the house from the East Coast all the way to New Zealand. I had been looking at West Coast versus East Coast. West Coast, the only carrier that could take the tiny house, wanted $42,000 because it wasn't new. So he was looking at the East Coast for me, Savannah, Georgia, and I was actually even hoping for that because my plans, quote, my plans, had been thinking that we needed the tiny house to be delayed so that it would arrive after our honeymoon was over. And if it left from the East Coast, it was going to take perhaps up to three times the amount of time to get to New Zealand. So I was quite happy. Plus, it would be on the road only for about 400 miles rather than upwards of 2,000 plus miles to California. So when I get this email from him, before I hit execute, I go and say, Lord, I really need you to show me if I'm hearing from you correctly. Do you really want me to do this? Do you really want me to move forward and begin to spend this money on this? Is this what you want me to do? I really needed confirmation, and in a very, very short period of time, just by taking a quick ride to go get a coffee, God shows me all of these numbers. I have it all captured on recordings. It was very quick, very back-to-back. Now listen to the message God gives me. 504, push out into deep waters. Think about how that specific verse so specifically applies to putting my tiny house on a cargo ship that's going to go out into deep waters. 5:12, this is the true grace of God. 5:24, your tent will be secure and you will find nothing missing. 11:22, have faith in God. 8:48, go in peace, your faith has delivered you. 5:36, do not be afraid, just believe. 5:41, save me, O God, by your name, vindicate me by your might. 5:44, do not fear, you will not suffer disgrace or humiliation. 2:31, I have given you the land, begin to possess it. 7:14, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Following that, two cars simultaneously, one on the left, one on the right, 7:22, 7:22. 2 Samuel 7:22 through 26. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you have promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. The next number I see, 555, I will deliver you. 804, I am still confident I will see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. 711, the Lord will give you a very good gift. 714 again, and the last number, 911. The last number of the day, as if to symbolize the end of the battle, the final destination and reward, are the words that I write. Now keep in mind, this is about the tiny house, whether or not the ship. And notice now, this ends on 9/11, and wait until you hear the end of this story. Just remember this point. Maybe you can go back and listen to this series again, because this series will be exceptionally insightful to go back after you know the end of the story, how it all ends up, and how God did some amazing things, and how it all ends. Then you go back to the beginning. Once you get to the end, you go back to the beginning and you begin to listen to some of these things, and these little things like this last number, 9/11, the last number of the day before I send this tiny house off, comes up 9/11, and you will understand the weight of that, how appropriate that is. I note, I also keep seeing 5:10 and 3:10. I just read 1 John 5:10 to Lisa 2 nights ago. Those who do not believe God make him out to be a liar. Brothers and sisters, this is why it is so important to recognize and see that unbelief is the greatest sin in all of the Bible. Not just unbelief that Jesus Christ was and is, but unbelief in the very things that God asks us to believe him for as part of his will in our individual lives. When you do not believe God, the Bible says you show him contempt. And God says that no one who shows him contempt will ever enter into his rest. The warnings are all throughout Numbers 11, 12, and 13, and Hebrews chapter 4, and Hebrews chapter 10, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The warnings are there written for us to take warning. Those who do not believe God make him out to be a liar. Like, I ask you this question, brothers and sisters. Would you ever look God in the face, even if you couldn't see him, would you ever look up and say, you're a liar? Would you ever do that? And yet, God is saying that by our actions and in our hearts, that is exactly what we're doing when we do not believe him. I told Lisa in the very beginning, I said, sweetheart, we are going to believe God all the way to the end, no matter what happens. Perhaps you've already heard this in some of my recordings. If not, you'll definitely hear them in some of the future recordings that are coming up. And by the way, let me just put a little note in here. I have decided, and Lisa and I both have come into agreement before the Spirit, that in order to get you to the end of this story as quickly as possible, I'm going to just continue to read these little excerpts that I've made on my iPhone, these little journal entries here, okay? But there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful things that are said that occur, a lot of additional insights, a lot of details that were left out, a lot more scripture that's in these recordings that I make when I'm on the mountain praying. I'm going to share those after the fact, because otherwise it just makes the series way too long. So I want to help you get through so you can be in the know of what happened, how did this all resolve, what did God do in the end, get you to the end of this, then we can go back, revisit the story, and begin to glean and see and then apply into our own lives, meaning you, some of these principles that you see God doing with us, okay? And I'm going to begin to share a lot of these recordings with you that I made. There's a lot of very specific, powerful, some of the darkest moments along the way, some of the most beautiful moments along the way. I made so many journal recordings, incredible prayers that Lisa and I prayed together. I want to be able to share those with you once we get through the story. I just wanted to make this point here, that I told Lisa, we are going to go all the way to the end, no matter what. I said, we want to make it to where God has to explain himself at the end, not us. Brothers and sisters, that's the position you want to take with God. When you know that you've received a promise from God and he's corroborated it with evidence and you have had the inner witness, perhaps other people have, you know, corroborated this with you and you've had some sense of, you know, agreement in the Spirit that this is of God and you're going to move forward on it. You continue to hope, you continue to believe no matter what you see with your eyes, you continue to go. And I would like to have you follow our example to where it's not you that's put to shame at the end if that thing doesn't come to pass like you thought. And it's not you that has to explain yourself, but it's God. You would always be better off. For years I've said I would always rather obey God and actually be wrong. In other words, having thought I heard him about something but didn't, but yet he sees that I'm rendering obedience and faith to him, than to shrink back or quit on something that really was what he had for me. And yet, because the circumstances contradicted, or because my legs started burning and my legs started becoming, you know, on fire and I couldn't keep walking to that promise, circumstances contradict, I shrink back. And what happens there? The Bible says I make God out to be a liar. So Lisa and I were committed. I said, sweetheart, you have to be committed with me to go all the way to the end of this. I'm talking all the way to the end. We go all the way to the end at 9/11, and whatever happens, happens. We leave it to God. At that date, that was what our commitment was. So that at the end, if it didn't go like we thought, it's God who has to explain and not us. Brothers and sisters, that's where you want to be in your faith. Because God will never fail you. It's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to not be faithful. But it is possible for us to be unfaithful. It is possible for us to shrink back. And you don't want to do that. It is possible for us with our actions and unbelief to make God out to be a liar. So then Joshua 3:10, one of the other numbers, God says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out before you. And then he speaks of their enemies. By the end of the evening on July 27th, I went ahead and agreed to hire the shipping company. So I had then secured the shipping from the East Coast of the United States. They gave me a decent discount. And now I needed to hire a driver to get the tiny house over to the Savannah, Georgia port when it was ready to ship. July 28th, exactly 90 minutes after hiring Doug from Timbercraft Tiny Homes to tow our tiny house to the Georgia port, his transmission breaks and he ends up stuck on the side of the road in Virginia, telling me he's now not sure if he'll be able to help me. I told him to remain in faith and that I knew he was going to be able to help me get the house to the port one way or another. I saw 5:12 while I was communicating with him and praying with him about this. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. July 30th, Doug found a guy to tow the house for me last night, and he sent me a message in the evening saying that the driver would like to come pick the tiny house up at my land now on Monday night and bring it over to his shop and then tow it over to Savannah on Wednesday rather than picking it up from my place at Wednesday and driving it direct. That was two less days than I was hoping to have to finish the work, but I told him I thought I could do it, and so we went ahead and scheduled it. I now must call the port in Georgia on Monday and arrange a TWIC escort service for the tiny house transporter because he does not have TWIC clearance. Michael commentary. Behind the scenes, I'm not going to explain it yet because it loses the impact. But what I'm going to do is at the end of the story, I'm going to do a whole recording on nothing but all of the incredible timings. We continue to find everything is done in either 3 days, 7 days, 40 days, or 21 days. You won't believe it. So I've just, in the last two paragraphs, covered two things that God organized the time for them to hit specifically on 21 days and 40 days. Exactly. So you're going to get to see all of these together. There's actually almost probably a couple of dozen of them by the time it's all said and done. It is incredible. And you can see God's sovereign hand over all of the dates and all the times in this. It's remarkable. It's probably one of the most amazing things about this whole story is that none of it's happening random. So for example, when you hear that this guy calls and says now he wants to come pick the tiny house up on Monday rather than on Wednesday, that's God's doing because Monday is a specific number date. Wait until you hear what happens with P and the divorce. You won't believe it. Another thing where God delays something 2 days so that he can hit it on an astonishing anniversary date. Absolutely incredible. So, okay, July 31st. I had a truly terrible dream that I remembered the worst part of last night when I woke up. It was designed to really hurt me. At first, when I woke up, I was unaffected by it, but after a while, I could tell I was feeling a little bit down and that it stayed with me throughout most of the day. I worked really hard and was able to get the whole fence taken down behind the tiny house and pretty much everything picked up and cleaned up and all the extra stuff that I'm not keeping thrown away to the garbage out on the side of the road for pickup. I worked very hard and the heat index today was 110 degrees Fahrenheit. So it was incredibly hot, very humid, and it rained on me twice, which was a bit frustrating. Lisa prayed for me and he clearly answers her prayers because every time she prays for me, I end up being strong by the end of the day. And I was just so pleased with my results that the Lord had helped me. I got all the fence and the lumber packed inside the tiny house nicely. All that is left to do now really is to clean out the storage shed and then the outside of the house and disconnect from all the utilities. I sent a voice recording to Phil, the New Zealand customs agent, about the tiny house. Soon after, I see a 358 again. I've been seeing it every day and I'm wondering if the Lord is showing me Isaiah 35:8, speaking of him making a highway, a special way for me to travel on to New Zealand. Isaiah 35:8-10. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it, and it will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Then, the next morning, on August 1st, I noticed that the size of the recording I made for Phil was 35.8 megabytes. There's that 358 once again. And I'd just like to point out as I wrap up this episode that later I would make the connection between this principle in Isaiah 35:8, which if you over-spiritualize it, has nothing to do with the subject matter I'm talking about. But it's important to see that I believe almost every word that God has spoken, whether it has to do with a different dispensation or whether it has to do with something super spiritual, like we could claim this is something super spiritual and something super in the future, and yet we know that whatever God does in the end that is big and gigantic, he does little small bits, little tokens of that along the way, such that there are types and shadows in our walk with God that are pictures of the grand picture in the end. So for example, if you look at a Jesus was a type. So for example, if you look at like a Joseph, Or you look at Elijah, and you see that these are types of Jesus Christ. They're small little types and shadows of a much grander picture in the end. And also, we've been able to see in our story, there's far too many similarities between myself and Lisa and the bridegroom Jesus and his bride, the church. There's just way too many similarities. It's remarkable. Just like there was with P representing an apostate bride, Lisa represents a faithful bride. And we're seeing different aspects of this relationship between Christ and his bride. So we're seeing little tokens in our walk now of grander and larger spiritual principles that are in the scripture. And making the connection to this in Isaiah 35, 8 through 10, I one day told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, look at this. Look at how God made a highway for Israel across the Red Sea. And in this Isaiah 35, 8 and 10, it says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. And it says, the unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion or ferocious beast will get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And I said, look at what happened when the Pharaoh sends his men on that highway, quote unquote, that God made through the Red Sea for the Israelites. Look what happened to them. They are not found on that highway. The wicked fools do not go about on it. They were destroyed trying to cross on the highway that God made for Israel. So there is, again, there is something true in this grand Isaiah 35, 8 principle that clearly denotes something in the future that applies as a principle that God operates by in many other places throughout Scripture. Remarkable. And with that, I'm going to end this recording, and the next one will take us into episode number 28. And may God bless you as you continue to listen.